We'll get back to the phones. I do want to hit the calls, Danny, on the last time people were that excited at the end of the game. But quickly, I wanted to run through some other storylines that'll get lost in the shuffle after that finish. Number one, Daniel's playing despite all week long missing practice and not being 100%, best we could tell. I didn't think he was hindered in any way. From the moment he came out and watching him in pregame warmups, he looked the exact same. If I didn't know he had a rib injury, I never would have thought twice about it. The third play of the game, read option, kept the football, told me they have zero concerns about this guy.
Yeah, so Romo kept hammering this point that he thought Daniels didn't look the same. That was really throwing the ball, less about running it. I mean, he was complimentary when the running would happen. There was one play, I don't know if it, the exact circumstance. I want to say it was like a 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, where there's a couple defenders in his way, and as the play's happening, Romo goes, that's a first down. Before it was clear that it was going to be. Daniels shakes the guy out of his shoes, spins, kind of cavorts and dives forward, and actually ended up, I think, not getting it or was close to it. But, you know, so the running part, no. But he was convinced that he didn't have the same zip, that it wasn't quite the same throwing the ball. Hard for me to say.
I didn't see that. I will say I didn't think he was as pinpoint as he normally is. Mm-hmm. Even the first completion of the game was kind of behind a guy. You looked at his numbers. That final drive eventually got him within right around like 55, 56% passing. But he went into the final drive at, I think, 50% on the nose. And now, there were drops in there, too, like 3 or 4 of them at least. I'm not suggesting he was inaccurate. Let's not pretend like he was Caleb Williams.
Come on.
Okay. But I did think throwing the football, he was a tick off. I didn't think that was a rib thing, though. Maybe it was.
No, I don't. No one knows.
But he wasn't wearing anything additive. And when he threw it, I didn't think mechanically he looked any different.
Well, so he would go to the sideline between possessions and they're wrapping him up like he's a mummy. And I'm going, okay, there's something going on still.
So that I was shocked by because until later in the game when he took shots, and by the way, one of them was just, again, completely unnecessary along the sideline. Like, why are we doing this? Please learn how to not get hit in the ribs when you have a hurt rib. The next play was when he got landed on by, I think it was Montez Sweat. And on consecutive plays, back-to-back, he took some hits to the ribs, and he kind of got up. And I even posted a video at Grant H. Paulson. He was writhing in pain. But yeah, earlier in the game, they were wrapping him. So it's clear that there was, you know, it's not 72 and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean between the lines, and who knows what he's on or isn't on or what's shot into him or isn't. To me, I never once looked at him at any moment and said, he looks different than normal. So I thought that just generally that storyline, by letting him play, it tells me they knew he was going to play. And I know what DQ said after the game. We decided on Sunday. That's when he found out he was going to get the ball. Okay, fine. My guess is on Tuesday or Wednesday, they thought there was a pretty good chance he was
going to get it. Had a good idea. As long as, you know, there's no setback or whatever, you know, milestones they needed to see. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that was the plan all along.
Another guy I wanted to shout out really quick. My guy, Johnny Newton.
Johnny.
Didn't Johnny have a day?
He did. They took credit. They didn't give him credit for that sack.
So annoying.
Which I need him to get credit for that sack.
They're calling that a rushing attempt. That will change at some point if it hasn't already today, probably tomorrow. You can't take my guy's first career sack away. An obvious pass attempt. They wanted to throw a screen. Williams ate the ball. He won and got him to the ground. But for now, he got credit for a tackle for loss on that play. But I thought he was super impactful, lived in the backfield, did a lot of good things, and it's not going to get mentioned very much. Defensively, overall, they were really good.
I thought so. Really, really good.
They didn't give up a point in the first half in 2 straight games. That is the first time they've done that in 27 years. You got to go back, Danny, to 1997, the last time they didn't give up a point in consecutive first halves.
There were a couple, you know, really excellent moments, too, where it was clear they, you know, were swarming. So think of Benjamin St. Juste in the flat on that fourth down, holding up DJ Moore, who's got, you know, every incentive of the world to try to move forward and get that first down that was only a yard away. St. Juste holds him up, and here comes Luvu with the cleanup, right, to stop him short. So a couple plays like that where you just go, damn, that's awesome. These guys are flying around. But too much is asked. Like when the offense doesn't come through, and we've seen this time in memoriam, right, where a defense may be okay for a while. They were good yesterday, this group. But the defense might be okay for a while, a possession or two here and there with a good plan. And eventually, you're on the field for what seems like every 30 seconds. You're going to go out there for 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 play drives. You start breaking, right? I mean, that's happened last year with, you know, they'd go 3 and out with Bieniemy super quick or with Scott Turner years before. So this was one of those games where the offense simply wasn't doing it, wasn't putting points on the board. So the defense had to bail them out time after time after time. And eventually the fourth quarter, Chicago broke through.
Last thing, the storyline that I cared the most about, especially when we found out kind of overnight into Sunday morning that Daniels was a go. The Washington offense with Kingsbury and Daniels getting tested against maybe the best defense they'll face this year. and certainly at the time that they played them, the best defense they've faced so far in Chicago. And while they had 12 points and couldn't score and didn't succeed in the red zone until the Hail Mary at the end of the game, you got to remember they had the touchdown called back, and they had a field goal that was missed, blocked, whatever that was. That's 10 points right there. That would have been 22. They ended up with 480 net yards.
Yep.
480. Now, 52 of those are on the Hail Mary, and that's, you know, that gets batted away. Let's just say they don't have those. That's still 430 yards of offense at that point, which still would be almost 100 more than the Bears have allowed to any other team without the Hail Mary. It's the number one day statistically in terms of yards that they've had as a team. 6.7 per play. And the numbers are still very good when you take out the Hail Mary. Daniels gets to 300 passing for the first time in his career on the Hail Mary. Touchdown, no interceptions. I thought his numbers, based on the final drive, ended up looking a lot better than they had before. But I thought all game long, he was really, really good. He ran for 50. He gave them a chance. He threw for 270. He didn't turn the ball over. It was another game where he didn't put the ball in harm's way against a good defense. Like, I thought it was a, while he wasn't his best, he was clearly the better of the two quarterbacks, kind of start to finish, and he gave them a really good chance. The deep ball to McLaurin was ridiculous.
Great throw.
I mean, that was an outrageous pass. It was beautiful. And that's what I think what I've come to learn about him is, like, even on the days where it doesn't feel like it's going great or he's sharp or, like, he's not pinpoint, you get the B or C version of him, which I'm not saying yesterday was a C version, but on the days where that's happened, he makes huge plays that make a lot of it not matter. You know what I mean?
I know, like, exactly what you mean.
Yesterday was not an A-plus Daniels day, but when you look back on it in a month, it's going to feel like it because he hit the 60-yard bomb, because he hit the Hail Mary. Like, he is inevitable. You just cannot keep him down for four quarters.
Yeah, he had that one play, too, where Chicago, their defense coordinator, you go, you got it. You guessed right. You figured it out. Great call. Great job. Couple unchecked rushers, and one guy, you know, beats their seventh-string left tackle, whoever it was in there at that point. And Daniels just kind of calmly, I'm sure that's a word, calmly slides to the right, just a little bit more to buy himself some time to that right hash mark, throws it back across the field to Ertz, who's, you know, meandering his way kind of back, you know, towards the sideline for like a 15, 20-yard catch. And you go, that's not going to go in any highlight reels, but that's special. That's just so different than everybody else.